Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The WBEN All Local.
All Local.
A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
President Trump set to announce new tariffs today. Kelly O'Grady has more.
We don't have a sense of what countries might be impacted, what industries, what products. There has been talk of what's known as the dirty 15. So the 15% of countries that make up the majority of the trade deficit with the US. And these would include countries like Canada, Mexico, India, Vietnam, Thailand, and a slew of others.
Well, CBS News is reporting the tariffs are not going to a broad 20%. On imports.
Well, local businesses are preparing for today's announcement. Here's WBEN's Zach Penkew.
Local businesses are preparing for the worst as President Donald Trump is expected to roll out massive tariffs today. Keith Farkas with Great Skate Hockey Company says vendors have already been reaching out to let them know that prices are going to start increasing soon.
We're
going
to feel all the effects of certain products going up in price, but not everything. So when people say, oh, everything's going to go up in price, it's not a straight, you know, increase in price on everything. So it may be just on the current or the newest product coming out, and the current products might stay the same price. That's generally how it works. But that's kind of yet to be seen till the newest product hits the market. That hits in July. But yeah, we've been notified that there will be some price increases for sure.
David Sheffield with Buffalo Bottle Craft, a company that makes hockey puck koozies, says it's hard to buy American products when most manufacturers are outside of the country.
This is going to really increase our cost, and we either have to take a hit to our bottom line and I just make less money for my family this year, or we have to increase our prices, which is going to reduce sales in the long run. So we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place here.
Zach Penkew, WBEN.com News.
Thank you for that, Zach. Continuing to follow this announcement from the White House today. It's expected to happen after the markets close in the White House Rose Garden.
Democratic senators are calling on Republican colleagues to help pass legislation curbing the president's authority to impose tariffs on Canada. Senator Tim Kaine, who's leading the effort, warned of the damage U.S. consumers and businesses could face if Congress doesn't make a move.
Canadian tariffs in particular, what will they end up taxing? They'll tax groceries and food products. They'll tax building supplies at a time when home prices are too high already. They will tax fertilizer to our farmers. About 80% of the potash that is used by our farmers for fertilizer comes from Canada.
Kaine is joined by Senators Amy Klobuchar, Mark Warner, in pushing for a vote on a resolution to end Trump's emergency declaration on Canada that would curtail his authority to impose those tariffs.
Here in Buffalo, the Common Council yesterday approved changes on where short-term rentals can be operated if owners do not reside on the property. Under the new rules, non-owner occupied rentals are banned from residential zones. The owners of those properties are also required to reside in Buffalo or designate an agent or management company. The city trying to balance the preservation of neighborhoods with an increase in Airbnbs. The changes do not apply to existing short-term rentals currently operating with a legal license.
The rift between the town of Tonawanda and their police department seems to be growing this week as Taylor Law violation notices are being sent out to nearly 50 officers. WBEN's Tom Puckett has the latest from both sides of the dispute.
Town of Tonawanda Supervisor Joe Eminger says he supports his town's police officers, but they need to be held accountable for that work stoppage back in January.
The numbers are very evident that something happened. We have approximately 20, 25 officers who wrote zero tickets in that three-week period.
But Andy Thompson of the Town of Tonawanda Police Club says officers had more than usual on their plates.
We had training. We switched from our 40 calibers, 9mm, so every officer had 16 hours of mandatory training, which actually put the road at minimum manning. On top of that, the weather was horrible through this entire period. had almost 2,000 more calls for service than we did in previous years.
Thompson says officers did issue warnings at their discretion. Hear more from both online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
Now, the town says 123 tickets were issued by officers during the alleged strike period, compared to more than 550 tickets issued during the same period last year, over 600 in 2023.
Attorney General Pam Bondi is directing prosecutors to seek the death penalty for Luigi Mangione, the man accused of killing UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Bondi called the killing premeditated and cold-blooded, adding Mangione is a risk to others.
The messaging couldn't be clearer. She and others around the country have kind of been shocked by this public reaction, this public sympathy that we've seen toward Mangione. Obviously, his cause seems to be grievances with the healthcare industry. And what she's trying to kind of convey, I believe, with this announcement is that this kind of murder and the public aspect of it, that shocking video and the tensions and flaring passions that it invoked, I think she wants to make clear that this is something, at least in their agenda, is not acceptable.
It's Alex Malin, who covers the Justice Department.
Well, the Sabres pick up another win last night in Ottawa.
Wallenstein steps up at the line. Puck is stolen here by Peyton Krebs, who walks in and fires, scores! Peyton Krebs! A great read, and he shoots the puck as Lindy Ruff has asked him to do. And the Buffalo Sabres are up 4-1.
Krebs stealing a Dylan Cousins pass to make that goal happen. 5-2, the final was a nice win for the Sabres. They complete the season sweep of the Senators, who look like they're going to make the playoffs.
Isn't that crazy?
Explain that one. Yeah. Sabres next host the Lightning on Saturday.
What is going on here with this team?
Got James Reimer playing lights out over the last couple of weeks. Team looking really good against some good teams. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's just tough. It almost makes you more upset at the way the season's gone to see how they've kind of turned it on here and what they could have been.
Where was this a few months ago when we really needed it? The House Task Force on Declassification of Federal Secrets held its first hearing yesterday, the panel focusing on the documents related to the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy. Among the witnesses, JFK filmmaker Oliver Stone, he and others calling for lawmakers to reopen the case into the killing, which the Warren Commission concluded was committed by lone gunman Lee Harvey Oswald.
Let us reinvestigate the fingerprints of intelligence all over Lee Harvey Oswald from 1959 to 1963, his violent death in 1963. And most importantly, this CIA, whose muddy footprints are all over this case.
Oliver Stone, who testified yesterday on Capitol Hill.
And Val Kilmer has died, his daughter saying the actor died from pneumonia, surrounded by family.
Val Kilmer played some big characters throughout his career. Gunslinging gambler Doc Holliday in Tombstone.
Well, I suppose I'm deranged, but I guess I'll just have to call.
He was the naval aviator known as Iceman in Top Gun.
You may not like the guys flying with you. They may not like you. But whose side are you on?
Kilmer did his own vocals when he portrayed Jim Morrison in The Doors.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
And the actor received mixed reviews but great box office for Batman Forever.
You see, I'm both Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Just 65 years old.
I was going to say, he wasn't that old.
Wasn't terribly old, but is there a role that you remember Val Kilmer for above all the others?
Top Gun for me.
Top Gun?
Yeah.
For me, it's Batman.
Yeah.
Like, that was right in my wheelhouse growing up. You know, I loved Batman. The movie came out, and he was Batman. So that was it for
good
me.
Good actor, really.
Unbelievable. Yeah. There's some crazy stories about Val Kilmer, too. We'll get to some of those.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
throughout the morning.
The exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast calls for periods of rain developing this afternoon, turning breezy with temperatures rising through the 40s. Southeast winds pick up from 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered showers and thunderstorms possible tonight. Windy with rising temperatures into the mid-50s. Southeast winds gusting close to 40 miles an hour at times. Rain ending tomorrow with skies becoming partly sunny into the afternoon. It'll be windy and milder with highs in the low 60s. Southwest winds gusting close to 40 miles an hour. Partly sunny on Friday with mild highs in the low 50s. With the exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Mary Beth Roble.
Joining us in the TroCare College Live Line, Republican political strategist Carl Calabrese. So we take a look at today's big announcement from the president. Okay, Carl, tariff announcement from the president. How does he try to, or do you think he tries to, sell this to the American people when speaking today?
Well, I think he's going to talk about how our products are heavily tariffed overseas, and that works against American manufacturers and obviously American jobs. I read an article yesterday, Brian, with the 22 countries that account for 90% of our trade and how they tariff us. And, you know, for example, India. Our tariffs with Indian products are 5%. India tariffs our products 35%. I kind of wish the Republican National Committee would have helped out in this and taken out some, done a series of television ads showing those disparities. Now, there's a lot of things we don't know here. You know, is Trump playing a masterful game of chicken with our trading partners, taking us right to the edge? I mean, that's kind of keeping with his style of negotiation where he asks for the world plus your firstborn when he starts and then ratchets down. So I kind of wonder about that. The other thing we don't know is, are these going to be across the board tariffs or reciprocal tariffs? I kind of think they'll be reciprocal only because his press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, has used that word a number of times in press conferences. I don't think she'd be using that word if she wasn't authorized to use it. We don't know what kind of pressure foreign governments are under from their own manufacturers. For example, in France, our French wine industry executives and cheese industry executives saying to President Macron, you've got to do something. You can't, you got to negotiate with this guy. You can't allow him to put these kinds of tariffs on our products because it will hurt our domestic industries. If we had a fair media, you would think the Washington Post, New York Times would ask or assign their European correspondents to do stories about that, because I got to believe that's happening overseas. And then, you know, I wonder if Trump really does believe that tariffs are going to increase jobs and economic growth in this country. If he really believes that, you know, how is he factoring in other things? For example, will his tax cuts and his deregulation, aggressive deregulation, even spur the economy even more to maybe offset any ill effects of tariffs? Those are all the things we don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how this plays out.
How big a gamble is this for Trump? I mean, it seems like the stakes are very high because the perception is that this is all coming down on the consumer.
Susan, the stakes could not be higher. If he's wrong about tariffs, if they're not good, if they cause an economic drag, if his tax cuts and his deregulation program do not offset that drag, and the economy goes into either recession or stagflation, that will be disastrous for him and the Republican Party. You know, let's go back to 1992 with the Clinton campaign for presidency, the famous phrase that James Carville came up with as a theme for that campaign, and that was, it's the economy, stupid. That theme rings as true today as it did back in the early 90s. So if we have a good, strong economy come the midterms, I believe the Republican Party will hold on to the House and the Senate, and that will be very good for Trump. If the economy is in recession or stagflation, Democrats are likely to take over at least the House, at which point you will see impeachment start all over again. And so the stakes could not be higher for the president and the Republican Party.
You know, you mentioned before, is he playing some sort of game of chicken? But you know, we brought this up a few times this week. Doesn't he have to go through with this, because or else it's just no one's going to believe them anymore if it's used for negotiation. You know, you can negotiate with tariffs all you want, but if you keep on doing it and you never follow through, eventually you lose the card.
Well, not if he gets concessions from foreign governments. You know, Trump is a master at proclaiming victory. And so if he gets any type of concessions from foreign governments on whether it be tariff or border control, fentanyl, that type of thing, you know, he's going to proclaim that to high heaven, that his threat of putting tariffs on these countries brought them to the table and made the playing field more level. So you can bet he will do that. Now, whether that will be just bluster or whether it will actually have substance, we have to wait and see. But no, I have no doubt that if he does get concessions, he'll be touting them as loudly as he can.
You know, if you look at what's going on right now today in the country, the elections that were held yesterday, everyone was saying was kind of a bellwether. Wisconsin Supreme Court went to a Democrat. Two congressional races in Florida, both won by Republicans. What's your takeaway?
The two Republican seats, the media was proclaiming those two Republican seats in jeopardy. They both won comfortably. Remember, these were not incumbents. The two incumbents that held those seats, Waltz and Getz, or Gates, I should say, you know, they were winning by, you know, 20, 25, 30 points, but they were incumbents. You're not going to see that kind of vote total for an open seat with a newcomer. So both of those seats were held by Republicans. That is huge for the Republican majority. Gives Speaker Johnson a little more leeway in producing what Trump has called the great big beautiful bill, which will be regarding tax cuts and energy exploration. So that was huge. Now, the Wisconsin thing is interesting. I'm really not surprised, given how Wisconsin voters can be all over the place. I just read this morning that there was also a referendum on the ballot requiring ID, voter ID, in Wisconsin. It passed with 86% of the vote. I said to my wife, on one hand, the voters of Wisconsin go very conservative and pass this referendum by a huge margin, and then they, on the other hand, go and elect a very far-left judge candidate. So, you know, it's an interesting state. It can be a very strange state with voting patterns, but I think certainly the more significant races yesterday were those two Florida seats. If those two Florida seats, which were heavily Republican, again, anywhere from, you know, 15 to 30% plus Republican, if one or both of those had gone Democrat, that would have been a bellwether, no question in my mind. They did not. Speaker Johnson now has a little more flexibility, a little more leeway, and that's good for the next phase of this Trump administration. If I can, you know, Newt Gingrich said something very interesting. He said, if you go back to the Reagan years, Ronald Reagan's tax cuts did not pass through Congress until November, almost the end of his first year. And so they did not have a chance to work their way through the economy and produce the kind of economic growth and income growth that they eventually did. And so when the midterm came the next year, the Republicans took a beating in the House and the Senate. And Gingrich said, in order for Trump's tax cuts and deregulation to really play out fully before the midterms, they must be passed by Memorial Day. And that would give the Republican Party a better chance of retaining the House and the Senate based on a strong economy. So that's kind of the deadline I've been looking at. Will the Republican House and Senate pass a bill to keep those tax cuts in effect and give those tax cuts a chance to work their way through the economy and produce the kind of very healthy economy that the party will need going into the midterms?
Well, Carl, as always, thank you. Appreciate the time. Carl Calabrese joining us on our TRoCare College Lifeline.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.